الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. When the Quraysh did not pay attention to what Budayl bin Warqa al-Khuza'i radiallahu anhu had to say to them, and the message that he brought from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, who was one of the leaders of the Banu Thaqif tribe, a famous and notable tribe of Ta'if, he asked the Quraysh, Atattahimunani, that do you doubt me? Do you have suspicions regarding me? So they say, no, not at all. He goes on to explain the different instances in which he wished well for them, how he supported them. Even in difficult situations, he supported them. So they say that we have full confidence in you. He says to them that accept what Budayl has brought to you. Whatever Budayl has brought to you, the message that he has brought, the option that he has brought from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accept it. And send me to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to confirm that what he is saying is true. So they happily agree. Urwa bin Mas'ud now goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam firstly the strength of the Qurayshi army and how they have prepared, etc. And then he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him the same answer that he gave Budayl bin Warqa, that I don't know why the Quraysh want to engage in war. They are already so exhausted because of war. They rather leave me with the rest of the Arabs. And I have not come to fight. I have only come to make tawaf of Baytullah. So he goes on and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there are one of two possibilities. Either you fight against them and you're going to wipe them out. But what you should think is that which person wiped out his own nation. And the other possibility is that they will overpower you. And in that instance, he says that the people that are around you are all people that have come from different backgrounds, different families and different tribes. They don't belong to the same family and the same tribe. And experience has shown that when people belong to one tribe and one family and they are fighting, then they will stay firm because they fear the taunt of their own family member. What will our family member say that we ran away from the battle? But when they come from different backgrounds and different families, then they don't have that fear. And at crunch time, I fear that they will leave you. They will desert you, and then you will be left at the mercy of the Quraysh. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Urba bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi says this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very upset. And he spoke very stern and harsh words to Urba bin Mas'ud. And then he goes on to say to him, that do you think that we, أَنَحْنُ نَفِرُّ عَنْهُ وَنَدَعُهُ, do you think that we will flee and escape from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and desert him? When Urwa bin Mas'ud heard these stern words that are spoken to him, he could not see Abu Bakr radiallahu an, because he was sitting behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Urwa bin Mas'ud asked, who is this person? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is Abu Bakr. He says that if it was not for a favor that Abu Bakr had done to me, I would have answered him. But because he had done a very great favor for me, so because of his assistance, his help and his favor upon me, therefore I will not answer him. Here we understand that even the kuffar understood that a person who does a favor to us, we need to be appreciative of the favor that the person does to us. Then Urwa bin Mas'ud continues to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and while speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would hold the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Arabs, this was a custom, this was a habit, that when a person is speaking to his equal, Then, in order to show love to the person and to show compassion to the person, he would hold his beard. So Urwa bin Mas'ud was holding the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and discussing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nearby was a person covered in full armor, wearing a helmet, and he was not recognizable because of him being completely covered. He was standing guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Urwa bin Mas'ud, every time he stretched his hand to touch the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this person would take the handle of his sword and hit the hand of Urwa bin Mas'ud and stopping him from doing this. And he told him that don't ever stretch your hand to the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason for him stopping him was that this is done to an equal. You are no equal to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot touch the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Urwa bin Mas'ud looks and he says, who is this person? He could not recognize him because of him being fully covered. Who is this person? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is none other than your nephew, Mughira bin Shu'ba bin Mas'ud. So he is your brother's son. So when Urwa bin Mas'ud hears this, he says, Ya Ghudar, O treacherous person, O disloyal person, up till now I am still paying for your disloyalty and you are speaking to me in this manner. What had happened was, Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu an, before accepting Islam, he had traveled to Egypt with a group of people from his tribe, from his area. He traveled with these people, and the king of Egypt had blessed all of them with gifts, but Mughira bin Shu'ba was not given the amount of gifts that was given to the other people. So Mughira bin Shu'ba was naturally upset about it. On the return journey, when they stopped at a certain place, then they all drank wine and they were drunk. When they were drunk, Mughira bin Shu'ba, who was not yet a Muslim, he killed all of them. Approximately 13 of them, he killed all of them. And whatever gifts they were given, he took all of that. And then he came away to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara and he accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that we will accept your Islam. We will accept your Islam, but this wealth that you have been treacherous and you have stolen this wealth from these people, we are not prepared to accept this wealth. So, because of Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu killing these 13 people, there was a major problem between the family of those people and between the family of Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu. His uncle, Urwa bin Mas'ud, being his uncle, he had to pay blood money for 13 people. So it was a huge amount that he had to pay for 13 of them. So he says to him that I am still paying off your blood money. The effects of your treachery I am still paying off. And you are speaking to me in this way. Urwa bin Mas'ud, while he was there, he begins to observe the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So one was his statement to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these people will desert you. And this was normal experience. Normal experience was when people come from different backgrounds, then they won't be loyal and they will leave you and desert you. But now himself, personally, he observes the behavior of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what he observes was, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to spit, then the Mubarak saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not reach the ground. Rather, it would be immediately taken by one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then he would take that Mubarak saliva, apply it to his body, apply it to his face. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave any instruction, they would rush to fulfill that instruction and command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make wudu, then his wudu water, they would regard it to be so mubarak and so blessed that they would fight with one another to get the leftover water that would come out from the mubarak body and drip from the mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if any strand of hair had to fall from the mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would take this and keep this as tabarruk and barakat, having the mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he spoke, then they would lower their voices in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they never stared and looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he observed all of this, and he goes back now to the Quraysh, then he tells them, and these were now his true impressions and his true observations of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was his initial idea and his initial thought. But now first hand, when he saw the manner in which they interacted with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to the Quraysh, "A qawm, wallahi laqad wafattu ala al-muluk, wafattu ala qaysara wa kisra wa najashi. O my nation, I have gone as an envoy to numerous kings. I went to the Roman emperor, I went to the Persian emperor, I went to the king of Abyssinia, Najashi. But wallahi in ra'aytu malikan qattu yu'azzimuhu ashabuhu ma yu'azzimu ashabu Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I take an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never seen a king who is more respected by his people, more revered and more honored by his people than the manner in which the Sahaba and companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is an enemy who initially had his own idea of how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would desert Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just observing the interaction, it changed his whole perception. And now he understood what love the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previously we had discussed Abu Sufyan. At that time when they were killing Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then at that time also he mentioned similar sentiments. Ma ra'aytu ahadan yuhibbu ahadan ka hubbi ashabi Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have never seen anyone love any person in the manner like how the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the testimonies of the disbelievers at that time, of the enemies of Sahaba, regarding the love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can a person call himself a Muslim, call himself an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call himself a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he bears ill feelings and hostility towards the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nevertheless, Urwa bin Mas'ud now says to the Quraysh that my suggestion is that you accept this offer of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to fight him, then they are prepared to fight. And remember, these people are such, they will fight for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will not be cared what may happen to them, but they will ensure that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will reach the Kaaba and he will reach Baytullah. And he goes on to say to them that I fear that if you have to fight against these people that are coming only to visit Baytullah, then you will not be assisted against them because the intentions are so noble. They were taken aback by these words of Urwa bin Mas'ud, and they say to him that don't speak in this manner. Alright, we won't allow him to come this year, but he can come another year, he can come in future, but this year we will not allow him. Urwa bin Mas'ud was disappointed with the Quraysh. He takes his people and he returns to Taif. Another person, Hulais from the Banu Kinana, he was the leader of all those tribes and those families that lived around Makkah Mukarrama and joined the Quraysh in this army. So there were many people that were not part of the Quraysh. They joined them now to assist them against the invading force, against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So he was in charge of all these different families and tribes. So he says to them that let me go. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him coming, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this person belongs to such a family that they have a lot of respect for those animals that are brought to be sacrificed in the haram. So they show a lot of respect to these animals, these sacrificial animals that are going to be slaughtered in the haram. So, and they are also people who have a lot of allegiance to religion. So they are concerned about religion, although he's following the wrong religion, but they are concerned about religion, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that bring all the animals that we have brought, those animals that were marked to be sacrificed in the haram, bring all those animals and present them before this person, parade them in front of him. As he is coming, he should witness these animals. So this was an idea and a plan that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of as he came, and he saw all these animals that have been marked to be sacrificed in the haram, and he heard the talbiyah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, مَا يَنْبَغِي لِهَاؤُلَىٰ أَن يُصَدُّوا عَنِ الْبَيْتِ. It is not appropriate that such people should be stopped and blocked from going to Baytullah. And if these people are blocked from going to Baytullah, I fear that the Quraysh will be destroyed. He goes on to say that when other families who are not so notable families, when they are allowed free access to Baytullah, then how can the people from the family of the Banu Hashim, such a respected family, how can they be blocked and barred from going to Baytullah? So he goes back to the Quraysh and he gives them his impressions and his message. They say to him, you are a Bedouin. You don't know the treachery and the plans, na'udhu billah, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He becomes very angry and he says to them that I did not join ties with you. I did not become your ally for you to behave in this manner, for you to stop people from coming to the Kaaba. And then he says that I am taking my people and I am going away as well. However, the Quraysh said, you can go. We will allow us to make our own decisions. Then another person by the name of Mikras bin Hafs, he also asked the Quraysh that send me. And he goes, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him approaching, he says, هَذَا رَجُلٌ غَادِرٌ. This is a very deceptive person. However, when he came, he did not do any deception. On another occasion, he was deceptive, but he did not show any deception at this occasion. And he also had a similar discussion with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went back with a similar message. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a sahabi by the name of Khirash bin Umayyah radiallahu an. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying very hard to impress on the Quraysh that we have not come for any war. We have only come to visit Baytullah, allow us access to Baytullah. We will not interfere with you. We will make our tawaf and our umrah and peacefully we will go back. So, although these people, these envoys from the side of the Quraysh came and he gave this message, now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to send his own envoys. So he sends the sahabi Khirash bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu. And he gives him one of his own camels, a camel which was named Tha'lab. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this camel to Khirash radiallahu anhu, and he sent him on his camel, and he says, go and negotiate with the Quraysh, and explain to them the purpose for our coming. As he came, Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl, who was not yet a Muslim, later on he became a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kills the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they even intended to kill this envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, these outside families and tribes that had come, they stopped the Quraysh from killing the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came back and he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what had transpired. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls Umar radiallahu an, and he says, Umar, I want you to go and to discuss with the Quraysh. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I fear that the Quraysh will take my life. You very know the hatred and the enmity that exists between me and the Quraysh. Umar radiallahu anhu was very fierce against them. So you know how they hate me and what level of enmity exists between us. Furthermore, I don't have any family members in Makkah Mukarrama that will protect me. Therefore, I fear that they will take my life. However, O Nabi of Allah, وَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Notwithstanding all of this, if you still want me, and it makes you happy that I should go, O Nabi of Allah, I am prepared to do so. So on one hand, he had the fear for his life, but the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant more to him than his own life. So, O Nabi of Allah, if you really want me to go, I am prepared to do so. However, O Nabi of Allah, I have a suggestion. And my suggestion is that I can show you someone who is more respected in the eyes of the Quraysh than me. And he has a bigger family and a stronger family that are still currently residing in Makkah Mukarrama. And they will protect him. So the Quraysh will not interfere with his life and he will very, very ably convey your message. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, who is this person? He says, this person is none other than your son-in-law, Sayyiduna Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu an. Inshallah, we'll continue with the incident. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.